Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Siakam, the slam!
CJ the Brick!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast and on YouTube.
Everybody.
Like and subscribe there as well. CJ, we got ourselves a special guest today.
Yes, sir. 2020 himself.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah. Yesterday. And I hope we're going to talk about that today because that was an exceptional performance as the Raptors are looking to get into the playoffs. Sir, Fred VanVleet, starting point guard for your Toronto Raptors. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. Long time coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming off of that 2020. Like the day after that happens, it's next game, next day, back to work, or is it like, wow, that actually happened? I had 20 assists and 20 points in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I really don't think too much of it. Like in the moment, you know, it's just I'm just playing and I'm just surveying, I'm doing my thing and I'm reading the floor and guys making shots and making layups. So you know. Obviously, I'm super appreciative and humbled, like, to be able to have a game like that. But I think the most joy I get out of it is just the conversation, the text, the calls, you know, my family, like, people who really, like, couldn't believe that, you know what I mean? Like, bro, you got a 2020, you know? So I think that part of it is, like, they like, damn, 2020 is tough. You know, not many people can do that. So for me, it's like, I feel like I should have been had one. So it's like, I'm not really thinking about it. Like, you know, oh my God, it's this big accomplishment. I'm just like,
That's what I text you.
And I played bad. I really played bad. You know what I mean?
But that's what I text you. I was like, it's crazy to watch that game. And like, obviously like me being around and seeing almost the beginning and seeing you be able to just grow into who you are. That's what was the craziest thing to me. Cause like, you being really gotten the whole thing under your finger, like you running the ship, like you running the ship,
right?
Which is the craziest thing about
you know what I mean? You was there, so you saw it, like you know. And I think that's another part of the journey that I just appreciate is just how far I've come in such a small amount of time. So I think my lens and the way that I view myself is so much different than you know everybody else's perspective. So my viewpoint on things is always going to be different.
And that's your strength right there is that your viewpoint is so different and that you're able to block out the noise. And there is so much noise being an NBA player. And I want to get to some of that stuff as well with you, not just your story, but also some of the recent trends we've seen in the NBA. But first, you know, when you and CJ met each other, when was it? First reactions?
I want to say
it was media day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the first, you know, the first day that initial first week of school vibe.
Yeah, facts.
and we knew that we brought CJ in to be a sniper for us. And really, I think as the young group, we kind of knew that's all we was missing. Like none of us really could shoot like that at that time where like, you know, we were viewed as a consistent three-point threat. We knew we needed that on the wing. And he was just a great vet because he was like an old young guy who had a ton of experience in the league. But he really was what? Was he 30, CJ, at the time?
At the time, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm 29 now.
Yeah, that was 6 years ago. Yeah, that's crazy.
He was calling CJ, like, Papa Miles, you know what I mean? At the time, like, when we looking
at
him. He
just turned
30. Yeah, he had just turned 30. So he felt really young. We felt young. But he had so much experience to draw on. And just share with us. And, you know, he was just so welcoming and just, you know, a great vet for all of us to really put the battery in our back. You know, it was just a great relationship.
But that's what's funny about that, because I tell people all the time, I was like, I ain't do as much as y'all thought I did. All I did was tell everybody to shoot. Like, that was all I did. I was like, bro, just go. I was just like, just go. Like, go and we'll figure it out. Like, I'm in the gym with y'all every day. I'm not worried about y'all not being able to make no plays. Like, that was the biggest thing. And the only other thing was, like, opening up the viewpoint. So, like, the story of us being the best bench in the league. I remember starting that year off saying best in the league every game. Mm-hmm. And then it took us a month just because we thought we could be it. Like, going down the sideline for every game, best in the league, to the point where everybody starts saying it over there. And then next thing you know, that was the expectation. Because it's like, why couldn't we be?
Yeah. No, you definitely was the right voice and just the right personality for us. And even, I know you don't think it's a small thing, but even you having been where you was at to come and tell everybody to shoot the ball, you know, because that's one of the biggest things that bench players struggle with is that confidence and that leash and knowing like what's the right amount to try to showcase and before you get pulled or, you know, being able to play through mistakes or whatever. So to have somebody like CJ who like, right, you know, if he touch it, he's shooting it. So it just set the tone. You know what I mean? Like
we're going.
He's always open, no matter
what.
He can
get then we gonna figure out. Then we gonna figure out who matchup it is that night. And we like, you going because we going to you. Next thing you know, we playing 12 minutes at a time. Now we playing whole quarters, 14 minutes at a time. Like,
That was a great time, I think, in all of our development. Nah. You know, as I look back now, like, especially, you know, me, P and Yach having us back together at this stage, just looking back at, you know, essentially kind of doing the same thing, you know, that we was doing then, just like on a larger scale with more minutes and more touches, more opportunities.
That's crazy that you bring that up. That's a good thing for us to go to talk about Yach. Cause I heard when he came back, they asked him to say something. He was like, you guys know me, I'm home. Like, that's what he said. Like, I wish I'd have been there for that because that sounded like him.
But nah, it was like perfect Yach, man. Yeah. They, you know, Nick was trying to be funny. Like, hey, Yach, introduce yourself. And he's like, man, who don't know me? Like, I've been here, even though I ain't here. And that's an incredible shirt right there.
Yeah,
that's right there. So we got Fred right here. They gave you a tan. Yeah. And Yach is, for some reason, yellow.
Yeah.
And we got DeLon, CJ is right here. You got Lucas, Norm. Yeah. Anyways,
Lucas,
that was,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Norm was on there too. It was a beautiful time. So how many times did you guys just straight up run the starters out at the gym during practices? Did that happen often?
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time.
Because there were stories, Fred, during the pandemic, peak pandemic, I saw you, I was listening to those IG lives you were doing. There were a few stories you shared about times with DeMar. And I know it happened definitely more than once. That's for sure.
Yeah. It really was most of the time. And because, you know, not only do the vets not really want to practice, but we were very capable and we were very hungry and we just knew how to play them because we were like the perfect opposite
Facts.
From what they were. You know what I mean? So it's like we were the
total
perfect.
Slower pace. Right.
Yeah. Like they was more like, pick and roll, post up with DeMar and Kyle, and then we was just running and gunning and flying around. And then you fast forward and you look, and it's like, okay, look at the players that were actually on that bench. You know what I mean? Now, I wasn't who I was then, you know, who I am now, but like, it wasn't that far off. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like the more polished, experienced version.
Because the other thing is, all we did was script, like our open stuff. We scripted so much. Because, we just played out of it. Like, we didn't even have to think about it. Everybody just passed and moved out the way, interchanged, do whatever. We wasn't running a lot of sets. We probably had a set for, like, one set for, like, everybody. Like, I had a set for getting the three-pointer. It was a set to get you and the line pick and rolls from the high wing, like, in the slot. But we didn't do a lot of – we just dribble handoffs and moving.
Just hooping. Just out
there, and that's why they didn't like to play us in practice because they didn't want to come do that.
Yeah,
like they
didn't
want to deal with that.
Fast. Just playing
and
fast.
It would take us to start talking crazy for them to get into it sometimes. Like we had to like they look up and we talking crazy. I'm like,
who's the talker? Who was a talker?
Just in general. Like but that was why we were so good also, because we pushed each other all the time.
Yeah.
Like you wasn't gonna be able to have no scrimmage days and we had 2-3 days of practice and like coast through it because it was gonna be embarrassing. Don't nobody want to get embarrassed. So, like, if you wasn't feeling like practicing that day, by the time we got to that scrimmage, you just go get yourself warmed up because it'll be 20-2 in a quarter.
Quick. Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing with that. Like, that shit was just explosive. Like, it was just like,
fast.
It just happened. Like, it would put a run, you know what I mean? Like, we played.
And anybody would be the one that started it. Like, somebody would get to the rim 3 times in a row. I get a couple threes, Pascal get a steal and a dunk. Next thing you know, he's screaming, Yach get a roll and a dunk, whatever happened. And next thing you know, it's just like everybody that do what they do is getting a chance at what they do. Mm-hmm. DeLon, Euroing, Fred, 3-point behind the pick and roll, getting downhill, dump offs, whatever, whatever. Like, it was all because we played so fast, it was so much space all the time.
That must have helped inform the way you would play during games, too. Because, I mean, even the starters, they they played a little bit slow, but they aren't the only group of starters to play slow, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a way in which some teams just want to operate. But you guys being that curveball, it probably helped you develop a little bit, too. You know, you're making decisions pretty fast.
Yeah, and I think just like this, with the success that we had, you know, early on, I think it just allowed for a better situation. Like, our starters, our main guys was fresh. Fresher to close games. There was plenty games, you know, maybe 8 to 12 games where we finished the game. You know what I mean? Throughout the season. So you're taking those minutes off their legs, and we're getting experience the whole time. So much so that in the playoffs, they had to switch their rotations and their matchups to counter our bench, which is something that I still have not seen to this day. I haven't seen that. You know what
LeBron
I mean?
LeBron James, right?
They had to bring Brian, they had to bring Brian back in just because
he didn't sit. He didn't sit.
He couldn't. You know what I mean? The bench versus the bench was not gonna go well for them.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's just a testament to like where we were at the time, and also, you know, our main guys, which was Kyle, DeMar, JV, the Surges, those guys, like they were doing what they were supposed to do, and our job was to either maintain or take it up a notch. And I thought that
and the other thing that we would do is like we could do for them is if Kyle or DeMar was struggling when it was time for us to come in, they would lead the one that was struggling in, so the pace would pick up so they could get easier shots. So like Kyle would start finishing quarters with us so he could play a different pace, get him a couple threes, get downhill, different things like that. Or DeMar would be handling the ball a little bit more, but he knew he was running, so he could attack and do things. He didn't have to stay in the post-ups and the isos and stuff like that. So it gave different looks for them if they needed to get them a couple easy baskets before they had to come out the game.
After the game yesterday, Steve Clifford was asked about what the difference was, and he's like, well, we got to see what we can do with that Van Vliet pick and roll. He just crushed us. His high intensity, you know, usually 1 p.m. start, some players come out, you know, a little bit slow out of the gate, but he was, of the 10 guys, he was the one that was on the pick and roll with Yak. Not a lot of pick and roll in the Toronto Raptors for a few seasons, right? It was just kind of like a philosophy thing or whatever the case is. But you get Yak now, and clearly your role changed in a sense where you had to probably, I would imagine, like tap into skills you already had a little bit, or you had to, like, you know, maybe look at some film more and understand how you could get the best out of your duo. What's that transition been like for you?
It's been a journey, man. You know, like, and I just pride myself on being adaptable and being versatile. I know, like, when you look at me, you don't look at it like that. You know what I'm saying? Because of my size.
I do, but yeah, go on.
My stature. You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking for the general people that don't really know shit about basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, the most, you know, the general fan would not look at me and think of a versatile player. You know what I mean? But I always prided myself on that because from day one, all I wanted to do was have a 10 to 15 year career. And how do you do that? You got to find different ways to be effective. So starting off, I'm going to pick up full court and I'm going to make open corner threes. All right, now I'm going to build my legs up. Now I can shoot the 45. Okay, now I can shoot the three off the dribble. Now I'm playing with guys who can score 30, so I'm going to just spot up. Now I'm playing with Kawhi. Now I need to be a two with Kyle. Now Kyle's gone. Now I'm the lead guy. All-star. Boom, come back. Okay, now we got young guys that we want to develop into wing stars. So, okay, it's time to try to figure something else off the ball. Then we get Yak back. You got to play pick and roll with him.
Sure. So
here we are, which is probably what I do best. Ironically enough, pick and roll is probably what I do best. It's just that it hasn't really been a heavily featured thing in my career so far. But the funniest part about it is my pre-draft workout for the Raptors was just 3-on-3, 4-on-4 pick and roll for 45 minutes. And it's really probably the reason why they picked me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They brought me to training camp was to be able to run the show and get us in offense and get shots for it. Again, just trying to be versatile and be able to do more than one thing and be able to do more than one thing well. Something that I take a lot of pride in.
It's always been though, like, we talk about players when they come in, like they never really, like opportunity says a lot about a lot of things. Like a lot of guys don't make these drastic jumps. They just start getting minutes and time to get comfortable to show all their skills off. Like people right. don't really look at it like your role, like you broke it down. Like so in the beginning, you could have ran the pick and roll early in your career. It's just that this is who I'm playing with. These are the shots I get. Same thing. I come in the league running and jumping, catching lives, coming off screens, doing all this, guarding the best dude that come in the league into the arena. Next thing you know, I go play with Kyrie. All right. He dancing with that thing. So, like, how am I – what I got to do to keep myself in the game? I'm going to stretch this floor. And then stretching the floor, give me the Indy, give me the Toronto. And then, like, I just have to, like, add these layers. So, like, all right, now I got to be able to shoot contested because ain't nobody leaving. They face guard. Now I got to figure out how to get off these screens. Now I got to figure out how to play the four so I can pick and pop, so I can give myself more opportunities to be more versatile to get shots. Like, it's the same thing. Like, you just got to be able to understand the game, where it's going, where you at, who on your team. How can you keep yourself in the game? And that's my favorite thing about you, is that you got to a point where, like, people could walk in the arena in the second quarter and not know that the first quarter, that the way you got your 20 was straight up off the dribble threes. And you'll be into a whole different game because they changed it. Now you downhill the whole time. Now you're throwing cross court, one hand passes to the corner. Like, they have, like, being able to do all that is just from opportunity and recognition.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just trying to be ready for that moment. You know what I mean? So, like, you know how I prepare every day, just coming into the lab and getting work in and just sharpening skills and just being a student of the game and learning. You know what I mean? Like, I always value myself as, like, a very high IQ player, but, like, I had a lot to learn, you know, as a lead dog, as a main guy, as a guy who's getting double teamed in the playoffs, a guy who they blitz the pick and rolls now, who I'm guarding, you know what I'm saying? I get a couple a couple shots, you know, every time I make a three, the team call a timeout because I'm not supposed to get that shot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm drawing the best wing defenders some nights now. You know what I mean? Like, this is all learning experience for me, which is not viewed that way because I'm 29. I spent 4 years in college. I was undrafted. I started coming off the bench, X, Y, and the third. So it's not viewed the same as a young prospect, but, like, I'm still in my development stage in my mind. You know what I mean? And I'm still able to go out there and produce at a high level and just try to impact the game.
But I feel like that's why you're going to be, that's why you are great, been great, because you should stay in your development stage. Like, you should try to stay in there as long as you can. Obviously, like, certain guys' careers go a certain way. They get chosen to be on good teams because of one role. Like, I had that, like, second half of my career. That's what you do. But, like, even within that, like, you gotta stay in. How can I keep getting better? If you don't, you'll be out of that door. Revolve quick.
Yeah, like, it's quick.
They get you out of here. Like, you can't figure out how to adjust to this. Peace.
I think too, and that's what excites me. You know what I mean? That's what keeps me going, is because, like, it's so much that I haven't shown yet that I know I can do. Like, I still got passes to unlock. Like, you know what I mean? I know I could throw a left hand cross court. Yeah. You know what I mean? To the corner. I know I could throw the behind the back. Like, I know I had these things.
You did yesterday. That was beautiful, by the way.
You know what I mean? I know I have different things that I can add to my game still that I haven't, you know what I'm saying, that I haven't yet. And, you know, just – every day just being grateful for the opportunity and the position I'm in, and just always putting winning first and letting my role and my development grow outside of that. You know what I mean? I just try to do whatever the team needs me to do on a nightly basis. And most nights, you know, it's going to be different.
You're a prime example of what I talked about, though, with
Jeff. Jeff Gowden.
Talked about, they talking about the A's. I'm like, bro, what do that got to do with anything?
No, it don't got nothing to do
with
it.
It got nothing to do with it. I'm like, it's not like he's 31, 33, and you can't figure out, like, all my good years are in this time anyway.
Yeah, I think the age thing should only matter based on the contract that you got.
Yeah.
You know, like, what I'm saying?
Or if you, like, got body problems. Sign him to, ain't no body problems?
Yeah, and he haven't played. He got no minutes on his legs in the NBA.
So he's,
you know,
22. He's not 20.
That's prime years. 26 is prime years. You know what I'm saying?
That's Jeff, what I don't get, bro.
Jeff is a baller, bro. Jeff can hoop, bro.
It's because of this, the media side of this, that we've let creep into the, like, the potential thing they want to grow. Oh, we can make him a project, and, you know, you give us this next instant. Like, I'm not looking for
CJ,
a project.
You know that it's in front offices too, that they view him as 26 years old. And I talked to Jeff last week about this, and he was preaching about, you know, his being humble and opportunity is the reason why maybe things haven't gone the way he wanted to. But at the same time, and you and I discussed it, is that front offices sometimes they look at him as 26. There's no he's reaching his ceiling very soon. But at the same time, the average NBA career is 6 years.
Yeah, so, but the same. So what I mean by that, though, is that you got to look at it like the front office is trying to figure out how to present this to the media so when it go bad, they don't look bad. Yeah. That's what it's about. They got to make it look like, all right, if I got a younger guy, I can always say, oh, it just didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I get this guy a chance and it don't pan out, it's like, well, you wasted 3 years on him and he's 29 now. Like, that shouldn't – we waste 3, 4, 5, 6 years on people all the time. Mm-hmm. And dudes that can hoop don't get a chance in the league. And that's why you see all these guys that's a little bit older popping up when they get opportunities because they're able to handle it. These young dudes, some of them can't handle not playing because they've been told they was about to be Michael Jordan their whole life. And when you get to the league, everybody been Michael Jordan somewhere. Like, everybody in the locker room was almost, most guys led their team to a state championship, went to a good college, did something in the NCAA. 9 out of 13 guys is McDonald's All-Americans. And all that stuff you think that separates you, don't separate you no more in no NBA locker room. Mm. And the guys that didn't get it, they hungrier than you. We looking at one. He ain't get what he should have got. So now, you being a McDonald's All-American, maybe you want to get you more.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you out of here.
You been on the list.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, like, you don't even realize what you're going up against.
Yeah.
Because you worried about what you did. You ain't did nothing once you put that new jersey on.
Yeah. No, you preaching now, boy. I think.
This is every episode, by the way. This is how it rolls.
No, I've been watching.
I love it. I tell you, not media, I'm a hooper. So, like, yeah, I text CJ.
I said, man, you in the perfect business, bro.
Facts. We talked about it in San Antonio, too. It was like, we talked about it.
But one more point on that. I think too, what people gotta realize too is like you gotta have some distinction between the front office and the team.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like to your point, I think having a viewpoint of an asset, which is where the age and the potential thing will come in, I think there is some value in that part of it. Like, okay, we gotta grade this asset based on all of these different characteristics, age being one of them. But once he's on the team, now it transitions over into our world, which is just when it don't matter.
I don't care.
It's like,
can you help 40?
Can you help us win? Can you hoop? What's the upside there? And we've seen it where guys catch on late. You know, all the time. Like, it don't really matter. You know what I mean? Versus, I'm obviously, you know what side I'm going to lean on because I know the mind of an 18, 19, and 20-year-old and the skill set and the mindset of maturation of a man is going to, like, the sample size is so small of the guys who is able to do it at that age.
Mm-hmm.
So we give them all opportunities because, in theory, with more opportunity, you'll have more success, but that's not always the case. You know what I mean? It's not a sure science.
More cases than not, if we really look at it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to turn nobody down. I'm not trying. I'm just saying, but it's more cases than not. That's why they made the rule about the high school thing. Because it's way more that you will never hear their name again, and we could have saved their careers by letting them go to school.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
So then what is the balance between confidence and arrogance? I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think you do need a level of arrogance to be great.
You got to have
confidence
a
in yourself, right?
Yeah, and you got to have a little bit of,
for sure.
And you got to have a little bit of like craziness, like your view, like you said, his viewpoint of himself. My viewpoint of myself got to be way more than what everybody else is trying to project on me. Like you might think I'm just this, but you don't see the work I put in and what I think about and what's my vision is for this. I can't let you put nothing on me to slow down what I'm trying to do.
I don't really believe in arrogance in basketball, and really why I say that is because unless it's towards other people, like just on a daily basis, you know what I mean, as a human, that's bad, obviously. And then two, like if it's arrogant to the point to where it hurts you or your team, you know what I mean? That's really the only two things that, you know, because if you want to be great, you got to be a different type of mind anyway, because if I listen to what people thought of me, I'd be working at, you know what I mean, Trader Joe's or something, or you know what I'm saying? Like, if I listen to people who don't like the way I play, or they think I shoot too much, or I'm selfish, or this, that, and the third, like, I wouldn't be in the NBA. You understand what I'm saying? Like, nobody believed in me. You know what I'm saying? I believed in myself. And like, that's something that you can never take away from
bet on yourself
or anybody yeah. else is in this position. You know what I'm saying? So I think like confident, it depends on who's asking the question. Like, what's the difference?
That's what it really is.
If a teammate says you're arrogant, then it's different than, you know.
Like, are you arrogant because of how you treat people? Or are you arrogant because you think you're a great player and you're trying to win and you're taking shots or you're trying to make plays? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like, and people looking from the outside who have no idea what the coach's the game plan was, what any other thing. Like, you know, because if they don't want me to shoot no more, they'll take me out the game.
Right. That's like, if my coach ain't saying nothing to me, if my
that's the way I see it.
This is my list, and this is my honest list. Like, my coaches in the game, after the game, my mom, my brother, management. If none of those people are making comments about anything that I need to do differently, then it's like, you know what I mean? And even them, I'm still going to take it with a, you know, I'm still going to look like, all right, maybe I'll think about it. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm not, I'm out there, I'm playing how I know how to play, how I think and what I think is best and what I think will help the team. And I got a pretty good track record. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like, that's the thing you got to remember. Yeah. Remember your own track record. We throw our track records away so fast when something go left a little bit. Like, bro, you figured this out every time. Like, why now do what anybody else got to say got any weight on what you're doing? Because at the end of the day, ain't none of them ran no sprints. Ain't none of them shot none of these shots. Ain't none of them lifting none of these weights. So, like, they can say what they think they see, but ain't none of them between them lines.
Yeah, I just don't believe in playing with fear. You know what I'm saying? I'm damn sure not going to play, like, fear of what people think. You know what I mean? Like, that's the most handicapping thing you could ever do to yourself is, like, worrying about what other people think about you. Like, yeah, you know, it comes with the territory. You know what I'm saying? Especially now in this era, the game is growing so much. Whereas, you know, people, there's really like businesses built around, you know, what we're doing right now. This is a podcast talking about our team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The game has grown that much to where there's so much discourse around the game. But like, how many times I failed in the last moments in my life, missing game winners, turning the ball over, making bad plays. Like, I've done that 1,000 times. But guess what? In game 6, I have no fear. I'm not afraid to lose. I'm not afraid to make a mistake. I'm not afraid to airball a game winner. I'm not afraid to take the shot. I'm not afraid to not take the shot. I'm just not worried about what most people is worried about, because when I'm in between them lines, it's just like, get the job done. And that's really all I think about.
Damn, that's power.
You dealt with them emotions before. So like, cause I did it and I dealt with it. I know what it feel like. So like, and I got past it and got to the league. So why I'm gonna stop? What's gonna stop me from keep doing what I'm doing? Like, you ain't never even got off the couch yet, and you telling me, like, it's crazy.
I just always value the reward over the risk. You know what I mean? Like, I think the reward of being great and being special and achieving these things and winning a championship and winning and going to the playoffs and helping your team and like that, all of that outweighs the negativity or the backlash that comes with being criticized. And I've had hard coaches. I've never had a bad coach, but I've been getting cussed out playing basketball my whole life. You know what I mean? it is what it is. You know, like I had to really break down my film 4 years every single day in Wichita, where it was like, not just a couple plays. It was like every bad play you make is going to make it on film. And you're going to get embarrassed until you don't end up on film no more. So like my upbringing in basketball plays a role in how I view the game as well. You know, I'm not really too concerned with that.
And it's not upbringing like that now. Now everybody got highlight tapes. So like everybody made it feel like, hey, you good. No, you not.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And you got phones at halftime. You got phones at halftime now. You know what I'm saying? You got Twitter now. You got your phone. Like, even if you don't want to look at it, like, you're going to see something. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching it, how it's changed, even in my short time, in my 7 years, you know what I'm saying? Versus, like, how I grew. I couldn't imagine having all of these things being a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have drastically changed my makeup and who I am as a person. So I don't necessarily blame nobody for it.
It's
just the way it is. It just is what it is. But there is a difference. You know what I'm saying?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And you got to be able to recognize that.
And that's how people get it messed up. And they think by us calling it that we trying to, like, we hating on it. I'm like, no, you just see the difference. And, like, my job as a veteran and a retired player that's teaching the game to young dudes is to show them how to separate yourself. Put that thing down, man. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do this work, because now I know they not doing this work. No. I know they're not even looking. I'm like, I'm here in the summertime, still hooping and things like that. And we'll see the UTSA guys say, man, I wanted to get in the gym with you. I'll be like, bet, we hooping tomorrow at 6. They be like, all right, I might come. I'm like, what you mean you might come? Well, I'm like, bro, I'm not even playing no more. I worked out at 4:30 this morning, shot a little bit and came and hooped. My day should not be harder than yours. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not, and this is me just doing my rec. I'm not even like trying to go nowhere.
Yeah, you're not even in mode. Like,
yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm just, this is just what I did today. Cause this is like, I'm staying in shape and I love the game. And I'm like, bro, you shouldn't be walking in here looking like you, like, like you done something. I'm like, bro, I'm just filling my day up. Like, I'm not even trying to go play.
And that's the part I hope that don't get lost, you know, and the way that everything is shaping out now. Because the game is growing at a crazy pace, and you know, a lot of it is for the betterment, and you know, obviously the NBA's sake is more money, is more opportunities, more everything. Like, that's life changing things, but it's like, we can't lose the fabric of like what makes the game, you know. And like CJ, know this game has been so good to all of us, you know. And
all of us,
the best thing you can do is just get in that lab every day and just put that sweat equity in and just, you know, see what come out of it, and you'll be surprised at what you can achieve. You know what I mean? Just look at me for an example. There's a thousand other cases of guys that nobody really thought nothing of, that, you know, they turned themselves into whatever they wanted to, but you gotta put the work in. You can't skip that part.
Thanks.
So what is your response to someone? And I mean, it's already been talked about. Even Jakob Poeltl was asked about it yesterday, and he kind of went to bat for you in a way when he was asked about your influence on the game. A fan says that, you know what, I think Fred VanVleet is a selfish player. What is your response to that?
Let me think about how I want to say that.
I got two words.
This is an edited podcast, by the way. I can take it. I can take whatever you want.
And you also can say whatever you want on here. Like,
in all seriousness, bro, again, I touched on it a little bit. I'm going to just say this. Just for everybody that's going to see this, that's listening, there's nothing, zero, nothing a fan could tell me about basketball. Zero. Nothing. So let's start there. All right.
Okay. Yep.
Second.
My bad. Second. Because I agree with you.
Second, I'm going to be generous and humble and say I might be one of the top 50 players in the NBA. Right? I got that list way shorter. But I'll say 50 just for argument's sake.
Because it ain't hoopers that's making that list.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So with those two things in mind, that means the NBA is the best league in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be a couple guys overseas or whatever that could play, and you know. But essentially, out of the top 500 players in the world, I'm in this percentile of people that play this game. So there's nothing nobody outside of that could tell me. Like I said, coaches, and I'm talking former coaches, my high school coach, my grade school coach, my college coach, my AAU coach, my mom, my family that has sports background, management because they have experience in the field, my teammates, I value those opinions. I value Kyle Lowry's opinion. I value DeMar DeRozan's opinion. I value CJ Miles' opinion. I value Marc Gasol's opinion. I value Kawhi Leonard's opinion. These are the opinions that matter to me, right?
Mm.
So the rest of it is just chatter, bro. Like, it's just online. You know what I mean? And it used to be you go to the game, you take your family to the game, you watch the game, or you watch on TV, and you just, you know, you say to your whatever, oh, man, this guy sucks. Oh, man, this guy's trash. Oh, man, this guy don't never pass. And you just say it, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like it's available for the world to see. So people get so caught up in what people are saying. But it's like, I don't really care what nobody say about me. Like, I really, truly don't care. Mm. And because I know what's in my heart. Nobody can tell me I'm selfish. Like, you can't tell me that. I don't care. Like, I don't care what you say. You can't tell me that because I know what's in my heart. I know how I play the game. And the greats respect me. And I didn't even touch on the other players that I never played with. I'm just talking about my teammates.
Yeah.
We can go down the list of all of the greatest players that have played in my 7 years who I have went and earned the respect and the admiration of by the way I play the game.
Mm-hmm.
The guys I'm going toe-to-toe with who some fans may think are better than me, but I'm looking them in their eyes, you know what I'm saying, every night. So, like, my vantage point is going to be way different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole nother aspect of what goes on in the locker room with each other that I would never speak on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because it ain't none of your business. You don't need to know what's going on.
Like, yeah.
But the biggest thing, too, if anybody ever had to change their scouting report for you, you can't tell me nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why should you? But it's like, it's weird with sports because they take out the craft part of sports. Like, they just throw their opinions on it. They take out the skill and the craft and the will they take to do what we doing. Because if I walked in a hospital right now while the surgeon was doing surgery, it was like, hey, bro, cut right here. Everybody would look at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, you'd be nuts.
First of all, I wouldn't even be able to get close enough to even do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, the fact that somebody can think that, like, you can come in here and talk to me crazy about a job that I've been essentially interviewing for since I was like 4 or 5 years old. Like, I've been working at this my whole life. You have never worked at anything for a summer. Like, you can't even fathom putting all your eggs in one basket like this. So why should you think you could be able to come in here? And I mean, you saying stuff about the game that night, if we speaking about the game and I'm playing bad, I'm playing shitty, tell me. That's fine. Yeah. Like, I'm but like digging in it and saying all these other things and throwing all your other opinions on the actual real fabric of the game, like the work that's put in, and you think I need to do this or that. You ain't even recognize the play. Like, you don't even know what happened. Like, you don't even know what happened.
Yeah, that happened to me so much in my career, was like, I end up taking the last shot of the game and they like, man, he's trying to win the game. He's so selfish. It's like, bro, that's not even really how it panned out. But like, all right, I mean,
you know how many times,
I mean, keyword being you ended up taking the last shot.
People just talk.
How many times I had to take a shot at the end of the shot clock and people was like, why are you taking ill-advised shots? Like, bro, if I just held the ball and the buzzer went off, you'll be so mad.
And I'm like, listen, I make mistakes. I play bad. I I'm not a perfect player by any stretch. I'm nowhere near my full potential where I want to be. Like, I'm open to criticism. Nobody criticizes me harder than I am on myself. Nobody's harder on me than I am on myself. And that's another reason why I'm able to weather that, because it's like the stuff that they saying or people saying whatever is just like whatever, you know what I mean? I know I'm going to break down all of my misses and, you know, looking at everything, seeing how I can be better, knowing the full scope of the situation. But yeah, it's funny, it's been a thing this year just because of the team's performance, you know what I'm saying? Which is like another aspect too, is like I can give you 39-8-7-5-4, and then it just be like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So that actually excites me, because it's like, hey, I'm pretty good. If this is not amazing, I've been doing this for a couple years now. So let's see like what I can do next. You know what I mean? What's the next level I got to get to? And I think like that's where I am now. Is like, how do I take myself to that next level? And take the team to that next level really is what I've been focused on. It's like, right, I just keep giving myself more challenges. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not satisfied with none of this, but like people's opinions are and it's really all online. The other thing I'll say too, before we move on, is, but because of the online part, which I've had my, like I have an off and on again thing with mm-hmm. Twitter and all of that stuff, right? You got to take breaks because it get a little crazy at the time. So I haven't been seeing as much. This is the least I've ever been on social media this year. I play Instagram to post my stuff and stuff like that because it's not as many opinions on there. But
that was a choice, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, that was a choice.
The
person to person interaction in real life, like the love I get outside in the street, is like you would think I was the MVP.
You think you were great.
So like the drastic difference between what people saying online and like the love that I get when I'm outside and I'm getting people who tell me, yo, man, your story and the bet on yourself, man, it saved my life, man. It changed my life. It made me do this. It made me do that. Oh, man, my sister had cancer and she watched the interview about you betting on yourself and it gave her more courage to da-da-da. Like that is stuff that I value. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Online, but whatever, like you can't beat the internet, man. Can't nobody beat the internet.
They're not like, even real people. Like
it's not even a thing.
It's true.
But the craziest thing about that is that some of them people you met in the street is some of the people that's talking crazy on the internet.
Exactly. I was about to say that. I was just about to say that. There's no accountability on social media.
Yeah, like I'm gonna make a fake.
That's a problem.
What happened with the internet is people stopped getting punched in the face. Like, this is the real case. Like, people stopped getting punched in the face and everybody got crazy. Because now I can say whatever from the other side of the world without even my own picture on the screen.
Yeah, you could just say anything. Yeah, like, you know more than me. Whatever. You know more than me. You know more than Nick Nurse. You know more than Masai. You know more than, like, all right, man. I mean, listen. Hey.
Meanwhile, you're a mechanic that never touched the basketball. And no offense to being a mechanic. I'm just saying you don't do what I do. I can't fix my car. So if I need to talk to you, I bring you my car. Like, isn't that wrong?
Also, CJ, like, I'm just natural, and I'm not saying I get it, because I even people and guys in the league too. But I've never, and anybody that ever know me, like, I've never been a person to like disrespect a professional, whatever that craft is. Like, I stopped playing football in the ninth grade. My best friend played college football. Now, when I was a little kid, I thought I was pretty good at football, maybe even better than him at some point in my life. I'm going to defer to him when it comes to talking football.
Yeah, facts.
I like boxing. I box a little bit and fight it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not disrespecting no fighters, man. You crazy? I'm not disrespecting a golfer. I'm not disrespecting a baseball player. Like, I just don't enjoy music, sports, entertainment. That's not the way I consume it, is to look at them and be like, oh man, this guy is this or this guy is that, because I know what it took to get me here. And I can't, if I can't do it, I'm not going to say anything negative about a person, because I can't do it. I can't do that. Why would I talk bad about you? I can't do what you do.
But that goes
to
that.
It seems so simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, that goes to the internet thing we're talking about. So that what the internet did is that it took away process. So like everything just popped on your feed. Yeah. So you don't get to see none of the, everybody want everything the way they see it, which is it just popped up. So they think they can get it that way. So now process is not a part of nothing. I think I can shoot like Fred Van Fleet if I just walk in the gym and start shooting from half court. Yeah. Like, I'm going to just start doing it. Right? I'm going to just do it. And it don't work like that. Like, when I, with kids and I'm around, I talk to them about these shooters. I'm like, bro, like myself and every great shooter I ever knew, never the first 15, 20 minutes of the workout, I didn't get past the free throw line.
Right.
And they can't understand that. I was like, bro, this
you
is
got
not
a crazy routine.
And I was like, this, you can't build this like that. You can't build a house with the roof first. Like, you can't put a roof up in the air and then just sit there.
They don't know. And the only thing about that part of it is what, as it talking about our situation, is like, we are one of the top markets in the league too. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta realize that, like, some of these people is whether they venting or they just saying what they feel, or they just starting whatever, they trying to start something, they not trying to start something. Like, the amount of attention that it gets is way more than like normal. You know what I'm saying? Because our basketball community as Raptor fans, especially post championship, mm-hmm. has grown a lot. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of
it was crazy when I was there, and
there's a lot of active engagement built around the team, and everybody have their own way that they engage in that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really care. I don't take it personal. I don't look at it. It is what it is. It don't.
And then when the FanDuel started, that's when it got crazy. Now people just mad just because they didn't get their money from something. Like, you could have had a good game, but I needed you to make 5 threes instead of 4.
Yeah.
So now it's like you and your kids, like type stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like,
I'm grateful for it. In a way, I'm grateful for it because it's helped me do two things. I've been staying off of Twitter, which has been great for me. Yeah. And two, I stopped looking at my Instagram DMs because it's all fantasy. I done started reading books and all type of stuff. I've been doing more stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I post my stuff on Instagram just to show how fly I am. And then other than that, I don't be tripping, man. I just be chilling, bro. I don't really pay that much mind.
I hear you.
I mean, you mentioned the betting thing, and I don't know if you saw it on the latest Hustle Play episode with Chris Boucher. We had Alvin Williams on, and Chris was there too. And he referenced the betting thing, and he said that someone messaged him that I chose the wrong slave today. Because he had 5 points instead of 10 points. And even to him, like, he's been in the league for a little while. He's dealt with his share of criticism, but that took him back too. Even us in the studio, we're just like, wait, what? Did he just say that?
That's the other part, bro.
Right? And I'm not laughing at that situation, but I'm laughing at the fact of, like, the same people that is talking about us, like, you can't fathom dealing with this on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't fathom I hope your mom dies DM every day.
Every day you get a DM like that, like some random
2020, 54-0, win, lose, draw. Like, you can't fathom that as a regular person. Now, in our position, we built for it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I got thick skin, you know what I'm saying?
But
like,
it took you time to get there, though, I would imagine.
I mean, my upbringing is of this. Like, I've been in real situations. I've seen real things. Like, I come up around, like, a real outside, traumatic, dangerous environment. You know what
I'm
saying?
They don't DM. That's not what they do.
People talking that can't even get close to me in real life. Yeah. And if you try something crazy, it's going to go crazy. That's really how I approach it. You know what I'm saying?
Play stupid games, get stupid prizes.
Yeah.
People, the other thing is that, like you said, like, every day somebody going, and the other thing is make you wonder, like, what you got going on in your life for real that got you, even like you said, say it's the same. They don't understand. It's like, you might get a 3 or 4 people that just always doing it, like, every day. It's like this random person that just on you. It's just the one he picked you this year, and I'm the one you're going to mess with. So you have 30. It's like, you're going to have 6 tomorrow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to find a way to get in your comments and your DMs to the point where it becomes comical. That's why you see guys sometimes going back and forth with guys on, because this guy's been in their DMs and in their comments for like 2 years.
They've been asking for it, bro.
It's just like a joke. And like, I'm not even really mad. I'm just like messing with him because he think he getting something out of it.
One day I'm gonna go down, have somebody go through my pages and just look at my block list, because my block list crazy. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how I approach it. Like, if I see something, I'm not looking for it. I learned my lesson probably my second, maybe my third year, about looking for your name and trying to see what, you know what I'm saying? I learned that 4 or 5 years ago. Like, all right, you can't search your name and do all that. That's where you're going to find all the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't do that. So anything that I see that's about me, if I don't like it, you're getting blocked. Like, it's just how it go. Because if you come up to me in real life with that bull, you're getting blocked. Like, it's just going to happen. Yeah. Like that, you know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing.
But the other thing is, we got two wives that's detectives that like to do that, though. Shay and Lauren like to get on there and, like, go through, look at this. He ain't even, I'm like, bro, don't just stop.
And that's like, that's the other part too. I gotta be calm because everybody around me is on go at all times. Yeah, like, they looking up people, they done found where people live at and all. I'm just like,
bro, you know how many times I done walked in on Tay and Lauren on FaceTime talking about something that came from
they don't play. They don't play.
And they shouldn't. And I had to get over that. So I had to be like, look, I'm not even going, like, I get it. Like, because if somebody was talking about you, I would be the same way. Like, you know what I mean? So I, but like, just keep it, like, keep it down, though. Like, don't get, because you remember Lauren ended up on the internet, on ESPN or something. Yeah. When I was in Indy, because he talked about me getting kicked in the nuts by Draymond during that time. He was kicking everybody.
Yeah,
and they put that on the, they put it on a sports talk show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I just try to not engage, man. Just let it blow over. I'm not giving it no publicity. Like, I know it's been a big thing. I only know this because people tell me, and it, you know, it's like people always checking on me. I got a lot of people that care about me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So especially with the down part of the season, people was checking on me, like, man, you good, man. I see all this. I'll be like, bro, I'm great. Like, I'm living, living my dream. And you don't dream about this part of it, but it come with it. You know what I'm saying? If this is the worst thing I got to deal with is online chitter chatter, like, my life is pretty good, bro. I'm chilling.
We talked about it on the show. I was like, I said, hey, that's one person I was never worried about. Even when I was playing one, I was like, I was never worried about him. Like, I was never like, that's how you ended up with the name Steady. Like, I was never worried about you. Like, no matter what was going on, I was like, bro, he not like,
it's going to take more than that, bro. Like,
he going to figure it out.
Me and my mom talk about that all the time because she think I'm crazy. Cause like, I just be like, I don't know, man. Nothing can be worse than, you know, my upbringing and certain things that I had to go through, you know, to get here. So it's like, if it ain't worse than that, it's like, whatever.
Yeah. And people want to rise out. They think that they want to rise out of you. So like, cause they think that's the only way you can show that you care about someone. It's not. That's just what we've been taught. Like, you don't have to be the best way to approach the situation, how do I fix it? Not just to get upset and get a rise. It's just like me getting the rise out of me getting upset and yelling, and I can't fix it. I can't see.
Yeah. And I don't get mad at people for their opinion either. Like, you can have your opinion. I just don't value it. Like, you can have your opinion. I just don't value your opinion. Like, think what you want to think. It don't, like, you don't know what you're talking about, bro.
And it's wrong.
It's wrong. You could be wrong. I'm not a debate person. Like, I'm not an arguer. Yeah. Like, I don't argue. Like, it is what it is.
Well, let's wrap up with some rapid fire questions. I got the memo that we have to giddy up here. So, former teammate you miss the most?
Come on.
It could be CJ Miles.
Right here, bro. What is wrong?
Kind of question, Sebi, in the league. Sorry, in the league. Not my name. In the league.
Yeah,
in the league.
That's former teammate. Yes. There we go. That's still playing.
Yeah, in the league.
I really miss the Ava and Nadia more than.
Hey, yo, side note, Nadia is a maniac now, but wait till you see her again when the season over. Hey, you gonna love her like she one of your own the way she act, bro.
Yeah, that's bro right there. The teammate I miss the most that's in the league right now. Damn, I can't pick that, bro, because it's all for different reasons. You know what I'm saying? I think I miss Kyle just because we became, you know, inseparable. Like, the last couple of years we did everything together. I miss DeMar, just having somebody to lean on, you know, off the court stuff. And then Norm, I miss Norm just because he feel like, you know, he the one that's not here. You know what I'm saying? I saw him and saw DeLon, and it was just weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, we sitting, me, Kuz, DeLon, and Yach sitting for dinner. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is kind of weird. You know what I mean? Like, but that's just where we at.
Current NBA player you've learned the most from?
Current NBA player?
You've learned the most from, yes. Could be life, could be basketball.
The most, probably Kyle Lowry.
Once again, Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry. Player you've loved watching grow from afar the most. So someone on a different team, you respect their journey, or maybe someone you knew, and now you're watching them do great things.
Jalen Brunson.
Brunson.
I met him or saw him, whatever, and when he was in high school. He went to high school in Illinois. So I've been watching JB for a while.
Be nice, man.
Yeah, super nice. Nice. And he played just like that in high school. Like, it's not like, you know what I mean?
But it's amazing when you go look back at they old, like when they was free and everybody played how they playing now in the league. Yeah, it just got bigger.
Yeah. He's super tough, bro.
CJ, you like him too?
Yeah, I like JB. I think he's tough. Like, I mean, and then I got a lot of him. Obviously, he was down here in Dallas, so I saw even more games when he was here in Texas. But like, I thought he was nice. Like, And I thought, just, it's like that thing. You get that opportunity, all that herky jerk in his game. He can score at every level. Like, now I'm getting to be a lead guard. And, you know, Julius up there playing crazy too. Like, got some shooters around. They got a good thing. They got into something.
100%. When did you realize your hands were weapons of mass destruction? I've seen some incredible things come out of those hands of yours. At your height, you shouldn't be able to steal the ball from someone who's like 6'8", 230, but here we are.
Yeah, probably when I was a little kid. Yeah. When I was a little kid, yeah. Like, probably come from just fighting my brother every day. A little boxing training, and then just like, I played that full court pressure trap running gun man to man defense my whole life. So like, I've been like, I used to get offended when, if you could get across half court on me, you know what I'm saying? That's how I used to play when I was a kid.
Sound like Jeff Doughton Jr. Yeah. He says the same thing.
Yeah, Jeff got some of that too, for sure.
How has becoming a father made you a better NBA player? A few more and then we'll get you out of here.
I think it just gives you a great perspective on life. I think it changes your viewpoint from me to we. You know, it changes, like, you know, the moment your girl or your wife or your whatever tells you she's pregnant, like, your life is over. It's no more longer about you. Like, nothing is nothing. Mm. After, nobody cares about you anymore, bro. It's like, it's time to put other people first. And once the baby comes, then it's like, I got to protect and nurture and lead and provide and protect, you know, this other human and teach. So all of those things shape me as a man. And I think basketball, more than any sport, your character is going to show through your play. So I think that, you know, having kids just, you know, sharpened and made me better as a man, and obviously, you know, better as a player as I become a better man.
It make it real easy to leave that bullshit outside.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, it just put everything.
I'm not bringing I'm not bringing that to them in the house. They ain't got nothing to do with none of this.
At all.
Yeah. Like, I'm not bringing that to them.
What tests, final question for you, what tests the patience of Steady Freddy from an off-court perspective? Nothing basketball related. What makes Steady Freddy not so steady?
I really don't like, I'm going to say lying, but I really don't like when people play with my intelligence. Like, I don't.
You must deal with that in business.
I deal with it every day. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just don't like people playing me for a fool, you know what I'm saying? That's one thing that's like, I've got a real good hold on my temper, like, as I've gotten older, but like, that's one thing that's like, don't try to get over on me, you know what I'm saying? Because I see everything, like, I'm very aware. A lighter answer than that would just be, you know, kids, like
Junior.
Yeah, like junior is the
boys are different, man. I got me a 18 month old. He is different. He's built different. He's got a motor that I have never seen before.
He's me, like, without experience and maturity. He is just the core, like, fireball of who I am. It's just him balled up in a 3-year old. So
that's why he messed with you, because it's you.
Yeah, that's every day me and him just in there fighting.
Funny, man. That dude is hilarious, man.
Yeah, he's crazy.
My guy, man.
Yeah.
CJ, final thought. Anything you wanna touch on?
So we got a good conversation out of it. I got nothing, man. I'm just glad my man made it to the show, you know.
Man, we got through half the questions here. There was several more topics, but maybe we can go on during summertime or something.
We do a part two, or we gotta do a part two, or we gotta do the live show.
The live show would be really cool.
I've been talking. I need to get up to Toronto. So, like, we can do that.
Lock it in. Appreciate y'all, boys, man.
Thanks, Freddie.
Or we can do it. We can do a summertime from the beach somewhere. You know, we got to get.
Oh, listen. Hey, listen.
I'm waiting on you.
Tell Yahoo cut the check. I could be. We could just add me as a third co-host. Hey, yo, Yahoo.
Don't tease me, bro. Don't tease me.
Definitely cut you a check.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
All right, yo. Appreciate you, dog. Get going. Get some rest, man.
Yep.
Thank you.
My guy.